Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 23 and verse 25. It reads, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Saviour of the body. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Last Sunday morning, we studied the importance for the wife to submit to her husband. Back in verse 21, the Bible reads, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Submission is a mandate for all of us. The ability to submit fully, as it reads there in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another. All of us are called to submit at some point, at some time. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. We need God's power that enables us to submit. And last Sunday morning, we studied the importance of the wife submitting to her husband. And within this passage of Scripture that deals with the home, we find some 12 verses that deal with the husband and wife relationship. And in contrast, 4 verses that deal with the parent-child relationship. And that's important for us to bear that in mind, because it teaches us a very valuable lesson. That you and I as parents will rise no higher than our marital relationship. The health of our marriage is the key to raising a godly home and godly children. That's why there are 12 verses that deal with the husband and wife. And then you move into chapter 6 and 4 verses that deal with parenting. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." And now we will study this morning the importance of the husband submitting to his wife by loving her as much as Christ loves us that make up the church. Note then verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also love the church." While the wife has to submit to her husband's leadership, that's very clearly spelled out in the scriptures. Somebody needs to lead. And I've always said, and I will continue to say, more than one head equals a monster. Somebody needs to lead. And God has mandated the man to lead the woman. And for wives this morning, you have a simple but yet profound charge from God to submit to your husband's leadership. Because he has the greater responsibility, the greater requirements, and how he loves you. Husband, you are to love your wife by leading her. By leading her. That's the initial emphasis here in verse 23. So the wife submits to her husband's leadership, and the husband is mandated to lead his wife. Note there in verse 23 that "for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Headship means leadership. A husband is commanded to provide leadership for his wife. Otherwise, what is the point of her submission? What is the point of a wife willingly submitting to her husband's leadership if the husband doesn't lead? That leads to a frustrated wife, or a wife that will lead anyway. So God sets the authority structure. The Bible teaches Christ is the head of the church, and the man is the head of the woman, which means that she needs leadership. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, please, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse number 3, the Bible reads, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." So God has a chain of authority. We have already stressed that a woman has natural leadership ability. That's ingrained in a woman. But a man has to work at it. In fact, God has commanded the men to lead. And this is a growing failure in many families. In the husband, father being passive, and the wife, mother, being the matriarch of the household. The sergeant major, the one that calls the shots. That's not how it should be. For the Bible teaches us it was the woman that was deceived. God has made a woman with a greater emotional quota. And that has its benefits, but it has the disadvantage of being deceived. And husbands, we can protect our wives by providing leadership for them. See, sin entered into the world because of Adam's failure to protect and lead his wife. Instead, he followed her. She ate of the forbidden fruit initially, and the Bible teaches us that Adam was with her. Eve gave it to Adam and he ate of the forbidden fruit, and the rest is history today, for sin has passed upon all men. Sin entered into the world because Adam failed to lead his wife. Husband, if you really love your wife, then you will lead her. That's how you submit, by providing leadership for her. And then the second part of verse 23 goes on to teach, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body." The analogy is given of that special relationship that exists between the church and Jesus Christ. As Jesus Christ is the Savior of the body, the husband should be the provider for his wife. See, Matthew chapter 16, verse 15, the foundation upon which the New Testament church is built, it teaches us that Peter confessed Jesus Christ as his Savior, and Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." The New Testament church is made up of men, women, and children that have received Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Jesus Christ is our Savior from sin. He has provided forgiveness. He has provided eternal life. Jesus said in John 10:28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What a wonderful promise. The provision of a Savior. A wonderful analogy given to you and I as husbands, that just as Christ provided salvation for you and I that make up His bride, you and I as husbands have the awesome responsibility in providing the needs of our wives. Husbands, you need to go out and work and provide for your wife. You can say amen then. Husbands, you need to provide for your wife. Not your wife providing for you. That's the biblical mandate. The Bible's very clear on that. I'm thankful for a father that works 6.5 days a week to provide for his 7 children. My mother never worked during the raising of us as children. My father worked 6.5 days a week. He provided for his home. And may God help us to understand that you as a husband submit under God's authority by providing leadership for your wife and family, but also you are the main breadwinner. You are providing for the home. These days we're sending out our wives to work so we can have a second car, so we can have $5,000 holidays, so we can have a new outfit every week, so we can have cable TV. But back in the old days, mothers were mothers. Fathers were fathers. And they said, I'll break my back, I'll do overtime to provide for my family. Seems like those days are gone. We have a bunch of wimpy men that aren't prepared to go the extra mile to provide for their family. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. He provides for the needs of His bride. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest, said the Lord Jesus Christ. Husbands, we need to provide for our wives. Husbands, we need to lead our wives. Look at verse number 25. Husbands, we need to love our wives by sacrificing. Sacrificing our life for them. Husbands, love your wives. How? Even as. That's the key word. As Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. This love is unconditional. Unconditional dedication to the point of sacrificial death. If the husband makes Christ's love for the church the pattern for loving his wife, then he will love her sacrificially. What does this mean? Well, the Bible's very clear. he will be willing to die for her. This is the essence of the marriage vows, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. Jesus Christ died in order to provide redemption for mankind. In Acts 20:28, the Bible teaches us that he hath purchased our redemption with his own blood. See, Jesus Christ died to benefit you and I. We as husbands need to so love our wives to the point that we will die for them. I like to stress during premarital counseling, get ready for this, Timmy. I'll tell the men in front of their wife to be, you need to die for her. You need to be willing to die for her. If you're not willing to die for this woman, you shouldn't be marrying her. A husband loves his wife by leading. A husband loves his wife by providing, Savior. A husband loves his wife by sacrificing. Just like that husband died lost his life in protecting his wife and daughter recently in that attempted assassination of Donald Trump. You and I as husbands need to be willing to die for our wives. That man led his wife and daughter. He not only said to them, get down, once they started hearing gunshots, he threw them down to the ground, and then he jumped on top, laid on them, and out of the thousands of people that were at that rally, he got shot dead. That's what it's all about. That's how we submit to our wives. And any red-blooded wife that has the assurance that her husband is willing to die for her, she will gladly submit. The daughter, or that father that lost his life, said this. She said, he truly loved us. This is the daughter's testimony. He truly loved us enough to take a real bullet for us. And she said, I want nothing more than to cry, more than to cry on him and tell him, thank you. Thank you, Dad, for dying for me. In the way that you treat your wife, husband, does she have the assurance that you really love her? Do you sacrifice for her? Our wives momentarily sacrifice for us. Husbands, how are we sacrificing for our wives? And then verse 26 and 27 talks about a sanctifying love. The husband loves his wife by protecting her protecting her purity. The purity of the wife is the husband's responsibility. Note there in verse 26 and 27, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The purity of the wife is the husband's responsibility. We need to be concerned and proactive, husbands, in maintaining the purity of our wives. The Word of God is a cleansing agent, as it reads in verse 26, the washing of the water by the Word. Husbands, we need to lead our wives with the cleansing principles of God's Word. We need to teach our wives the Word of God. We need to lead our wives by upholding biblical standards within the home. That is what we do, what we watch, what we listen to, what we read, how we spend our time. Her purity is our responsibility. Let me ask you, husband, is your wife a pure spouse since you're married? God holds the husband accountable. Once again, in verse 27, the analogy is given to the church, the bride, the redeemed, those of us that will make up the bride at the rapture. It talks about a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle in any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Within our Christian tradition, the bride dresses in white. Is there a reason for that? We all know the answer to that question. Yes. It's to typify purity. When the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, comes again to collect us, the bride, this is his expectation. That you and I that make up the bride of Christ, that we will be pure vessels unto honor, sanctified, holy for God's glory. Not having spot, no permanent defilement. Wrinkle, no decay, the evidence of decay from within, but holy, without blemish. And just like we as parents work at protecting our children from anything that might harm them, husbands, we need to protect our wives from unholiness. To protect them, protect their purity. Is your wife a purer individual now since you've been married? Are you saying, Pastor, I need to dictate to my wife what she does or doesn't do? I'm not talking about dictatorship, I'm talking about leadership. Loving her and lovingly guiding her. And leading her, my dear, for example, we need to read. We need to listen to music that honors God. Let's make it a policy within this household that we only play Christian music. Wow, that's radical. Amen. Why? Because we want to be pure. And we want to promote purity. Husband, you are responsible for the purity of your wife. Has your wife gone backwards or forwards spiritually since you were married? I'll leave that with you. Look at verse 28. Are you still with me? Now the wife just needs to submit. Follow. Husband, you need to lead. You need to provide. You need to protect. And then note here, in verse 28, the Bible reads, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." As a husband, you and I are called upon to love our wives with the same love that we have for ourselves. We love our bodies, do we not? Talk to me. Of course you do. Don't lie to me. You love your body. You pampered it this morning. You showered it. You fed it. You put clean clothes on it. Last night you rested it. And you've been scheduling your time in accordance to what's best for you, because you love yourself. You love yourself heaps, because we're sinners. That's natural. But supernatural love understands that, yes, I do attend to my own needs. I need to attend with the same diligence to the needs of my wife. We should give our wives the same devotion and attention we give ourselves. As it reads then, verse 29, the Bible's very practical, is it not? Look at verse 29. "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh." Do you think that's true? Talk to me. Of course it is. You don't hate your flesh. You pamper it. You did this morning. You're sitting on a comfortable seat because that's best for you. If you were given the choice to sit on that comfortable maroon seat or sit on the wooden floor, 99.99% of us would say, I'm happy on the pew. Why? Because you're selfish. Just like I'm selfish. I want what's best for me. And God uses that analogy to illustrate the fact that, hey, you need to love your wife, your spouse, with that same devotion and commitment. Look at verse number 30. "For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones." Because we are one in Christ, we are part of his bride, the church. We have a special relationship with Jesus Christ. My spouse is not only my wife, she is my sister in Christ, a valued member of the body of Christ, the bride, the church. This is where we find strength to love our wife as we love ourselves. It's within that relationship we have in Christ. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. A spirit-filled Christian understands that in Christ, I can love my wife as much as I love myself. I can love my wife. Look at verse number 31. I'm almost done. Bear with me. Morning tea's coming. Okay? Look at verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Listen to me carefully. When a man and a woman join in holy matrimony, in marriage, before God, they become one flesh. Nowhere in Scripture, listen to me, nowhere in Scripture do we read of children being one flesh with mum and dad. Nowhere. The one flesh is between husband and wife, one flesh. Not children and parents. That's not to belittle our love for our children. Of course, we will die for our children. But this one flesh relationship, this unique relationship of one flesh, is set aside only for a husband and wife. That my spouse is also my brother or sister in Christ. And I'm to love her, I'm to love him with the same devotion I love myself. And we as husbands need to lead that charge. This truth will potentially save parents a lot of heartache. So I find that in my experience that many parents struggle to readjust once the children move out of home. And why is that? It's simply because they've become child-centered parents as opposed to husband and wife-centered parents. That's free. To store it away. We are to love our wives, husbands, as we love ourselves. The analogy is given of marriage, one flesh. This is a mystery, a great mystery concerning Christ and the church. It is the husband and wife-centered, it is husband and wife-centered parenting that will bring the greatest measure of security for our children. Parents, if you really want to provide some security for your children, and have stable, what I call normal, children. Not children that are on antidepressants by the age of 10. I say normal children. Parents, your children need to see that you love mum, you love dad. And that relationship is number one. Yes, I'm loved as a child, but oh, mum and dad, they are over the top. Amen. Dad will die for mum. I'm convinced of that. Dad will think about it as to whether he'll die for me. Mum will die for the children. Without saying. That goes without saying, but a father will... Let me think about it for a moment. Look at verse 33 in closing. Nevertheless, in summary, nevertheless, in other words, not to a lesser emphasis, nevertheless, let me summarize all that's been said. Let every one of you in particular, note the word particular there. It's a beautiful word. We all need to take this charge personally, particular. Let every one of you in particular, husband, wife, firstly, so love his wife as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. So this verse is a summary, it's a conclusion. Husband, love your wife sacrificially. As much as you love yourself. Do we? Think about how much time we give in caring for ourselves. How much time do we give in caring for our wives? And for the wife, respect him. The greatest need of a woman is to be loved. Greatest need for a man is to be respected. That's why men try to be, they're fixed on achieving. I've got to achieve. If I can't win a gold medal at an Olympic Games, then I need to become a managing director of a company, or I need to make so much money, or I need to do this, do that. Why? Because the man wants respect, honor. But a man that has that from his wife, it's okay. It's okay. I'm content. My wife respects me, honors me. I'm happy with that. And a wife that is loved sacrificially, a wife that is led, a wife that is provided for and protected and cared for to the same level that her spouse cares for himself, contentment. Contentment. No need to step out of the home and become the CEO of Coca-Cola. No need to step out of the home and become the next president of the United States of America. I'm happy. I'm content being a wife, being a mother. That's honorable before God. Pastor, you've gone mad. I have not. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what the Bible teaches. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. A wife submits to her husband's leadership. The husband submits to his wife by leading her, providing for her, protecting her, her purity. And giving her the same care. The Bible talks about nourishing in verse 29 and cherishing. I wish I had more time. We would dwell there a little bit more. Husbands, we have an awesome responsibility. And on this Father's Day, I'd like to challenge all men, husbands to be, fathers to be, that we need to be all that God would have us to be. And it will equate to stable homes. There won't be stability out there unless there's stability within your home. And the Bible teaches how you can have stability and be happy and be peaceful. A brother of mine came over not that long ago and he said, Mario, thank you for inviting me to come over to your home. It was very peaceful. Peaceful. I was wondering, now, what does Joe mean by peaceful? We had about 30 people. It was pretty loud. A bit noisy. Peaceful. Peaceful. There's peace within a Christian home. If you do it God's way. Amen. Let's bow for prayer.